So is anybody jet lagged?
Yes, very jet lagged.
What time is it in Italy right now?
It's 6 hours after now, so it's 11 o'clock at night, quarter to 11.
It's 10:47 p.m.
Yeah, there you go. So
time for dinner.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
We got back late last night and all is well. The dogs, we missed our dogs like crazy. We're reunited. They've had a good day back with us. It's freezing here in Georgia.
It's freezing in this house.
It's freezing all over America right now, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's very cold.
Yep. And this podcast is coming out next week. And so it'll be after Christmas, but we're getting ready for Christmas. But hey, we thought on this one, we would catch you guys up on our adventures to Italy. And just got Eddie in the studio, which is amazing. Woo! Yeah, it's been a while, Eddie, since you've been on a podcast.
Yeah, that mysterious other voice you're hearing.
Eddie, did your ears ever pop? No, yeah, no, mine haven't either. So if Eddie and I are talking louder, it's because we can't.
Yeah,
we can't.
I might be screaming right now.
Yeah, no, we got in late last night. The way I was thinking about it, I think I was thinking about this on our way to the airport in Rome. I put in my head how many stops were ahead of us. Basically thinking like, okay, we get into the cab. Okay, cab, airport, check luggage, security through security, plane, Boston, like LA, not LA. We're not in LA, Boston, Atlanta, bags, Uber, office home. And wow. So I had a list in my head, kind of
that's
the things.
Quite the checklist.
Yeah, yeah. Of the things.
I'm exhausted just hearing.
I know. And eventually, yeah. I remember I didn't exactly think of it that specifically until we had six left, and I was like, okay, I can get there those six. And then as we were going to our Uber, it was three. It was just like Uber, office, home, and that helped me. That helped me get through it. I was, I liked the travel. But my body's a little wrecked.
Coming back was so easy, but going there was torture.
We've got a lot to talk about, but should we roll the intro music maybe?
Let's do, y'all? Before the end.
I suppose.
Go ahead, honey, say it for us.
Roll that intro music.
Max and Dad's wholesome chaos. Max and Dad's wholesome chaos.
Welcome to the last podcast of 2022.
Yay! Awesome chaos.
I hope your holidays were amazing, that you had a really fun Christmas and time with family or friends or whatever.
Getting ready for New Year's with some thoughts about how you want to engage differently or habits you want to let go or who knows.
Or just passage of time.
Yeah, just being you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're awesome, and thank you for listening. We are catching up on our trip, Maggie. So you were saying the first flight.
First flight was kind of short. It was to New York. I watched Thor: Love and Thunder because I didn't have a book. I really wanted a book beforehand, and it just didn't time out that I could buy one. So I watched Thor: Love and Thunder. Did you guys watch movies on the first flight? It was pretty quick.
I do. I watch so many movies. I honestly can't.
They all blended together. I feel that. I can't remember what movies I watched on the second plane. That's so, but yeah, when we got to JFK, we were like, okay, our first flight ran a little behind, but it's going to be fine. We're going to get there fine and plenty of time for a connecting flight. And that was simply not the case.
Yeah, it was tricky because not only our flight was a lot later than I thought it was, because I think we sat on the tarmac a while. Plus the winds were crazy and the flight was just, it took longer, but the connection.
Yeah. The connection.
We had to exit the airport to go back through security. And oh my gosh, it was crazy.
We had to like take a train.
We had to take a train to go outside the airport to go back through security. And one of the ladies, we're like all running, physically running. And the lady was like, guys, you're supposed to be here 3 hours early. And we were like, bro, don't you dare right now.
Yeah, so it was, we had like no time. I'm pretty sure like we were waiting for the train around that time they were starting to board or something. Like we had no time.
Yeah.
I honestly kept thinking like, okay, we're not going to make this flight.
Yeah, like we're going to miss the flight for sure.
And yeah. I'm going to pee my pants because I had to go to the bathroom really bad too. And like, oh, I was running.
And so a nice lady cut us through the line.
That was a blessing. Because if we hadn't have done that, we would not have made our flight.
But you two went through and Eddie and I were behind you guys. And then somebody else came to cut more people in front of us. And we were like kind of inching our way through. Mm. And they're like, don't worry, we're not going to cut them in front of you.
They're not going to cut.
And then they fully did. And these are like adults.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh my gosh, just people in airport act like children. And I'm like, you should be embarrassed. Like,
yeah, but man. Then there was a lady, like we're running. Somebody said gate six. And the lady sees us running. She goes, are you on the flight to Rome? And she's not prepared to run at all. And I said, yeah,
so I picked her up and I carried her all the way to the gate.
But I told them on the plane, I'm like, there's a lady behind us and she's going to be.
Did she make it?
Oh, I'm sure, because then once we got on the plane, we had like 30 minutes. But remember, I like walked on the plane. I said, I have to go to the bathroom now. And I walked right into the luggage closet.
I felt like a lot of us, like, I don't know, we weren't met with the a ton of warmth.
Yeah. I know we were clearly flustered. And I know one of the TSA agents was like, you guys need to calm down. The flight's not even here yet.
Yes.
And we're like,
and I started talking to him. Because he was like, you guys need to chill out. You're fine. They know you're coming. And then he told me, your flight to Rome, like Italy, isn't even here yet. And I was like, it says it's
been boarded.
Yeah, it said it's here. And he goes, And sure enough, they're about to close the gate.
And the ladies who gave us our boarding passes, they were like, two out of the three were shaking their heads like, you're not going to make it. And the other one's like, no, you're going to be fine. Come on, run. Yeah. Let's go.
We were gaslit at JFK.
Yeah.
Is what happened.
So once we were all on the plane, it's like, oh, wow. Then we settled in and like it took a while for us to take off, which I'm thinking, oh, that's good because we needed time for our luggage to all get on the plane.
For that lady.
Yeah, for sure. And for that lady. But apparently our luggage did not make it when we got to Rome.
Or they lied to us.
Yeah, they lied to us. And so I was the one who packed most of my belongings in my carry-on bag.
Yeah.
But apparently nobody else did.
We used to do that for years and years. We've been married almost 30 years. And I mean, probably until the last maybe 5 years, I always would make sure that I had a change of clothes, especially on an international. And I was just out of the habit. Plus, going into the holidays, like we were just sliding in at the last minute, packing before we left. So.
Yeah, we had a lot to do before this trip.
Yes.
We weren't all thinking clearly. But note to self, it's always good to have at least your toiletries and a change of clothes. And in your carry-on luggage.
Or two or three.
And if you're a drinker, a bottle of whiskey. No,
Eddie was wearing my clothes. I think everybody was wearing my clothes at some point.
We all wore Dad's clothes at some point.
We all wore your clothes for the first 2 days.
When we got there, we were like, okay, we need clothes ASAP. And it hurt my soul that the four of us in Rome, Italy, went to Zara and Under Armour.
I love it.
To go shopping for clothes.
We are very happy with our purchases.
My jeans
did not
fit me.
I love the clothes I got. Eddie and your dad love the clothes that they got.
And that's true. That's great for them. That is so great for them. But it hurt me a little bit.
I know.
But we had the best hotel. I mean, it wasn't like a crazy cool hotel, but it was perfectly positioned right near Trevi Fountain. And we heard about this from my friend Philip and his family, who stayed in the very, very same hotel, same room. Last year. We're like, okay, at least we got that figured out. And I'm grateful that we simplified this trip. Initially, it was going to be 10 days. We were going to like go Italy and go to the Amalfi Coast and
and
to Mount Fuji and rent a car and drive.
Vesuvius, not Mount Fuji.
Oh, yeah.
Mount Vesuvius. What is it? We're going to go to Japan
Pompeii is what I meant to say. So, but we decided, I don't want to drive. None of us
want me
to drive.
No. That would have been so bad.
Oh, yeah.
Philip actually texted me and he said, so did you guys get a car? And I said, no, we decided to take trains and save the marriage.
Exactly.
And so that's funny. We also decided to only do Rome and Florence because it was like, you know what? There's so much to see in both of those cities.
Yeah. And we were a little bit hindered by the fact that we didn't have our luggage and we had to wait in Rome for our luggage.
And it was raining at Amalfi. So, you know, if it's going to be cold and rainy, why not go to Florence for extra time?
And the luggage still, Like, we got a call that the luggage was there, you know? And so my dad, thankfully, you know, taxied to the airport, which was not close.
Yeah.
Not cheap.
$100 to not, go get our not luggage. Cheap, and he's go, he goes, what did you tell him? I said, that you're going to go get it. He's like, what? I was like, well, I thought that's what you'd want to do.
Yeah. And do you want to explain your experience?
Yeah. So there? I went there and saw the person at the gate agent lost and found whatever with Italia Airways. And she said, you only have one bag. I was like, no, three bags. I gave her all the three bag texts. I was like, three pieces. They didn't make it to our flight, but we got a notification. They were on the next flight the next day. And nope, they only had one of those bags. And so we're like, what? So clearly at this point, we can't leave town yet. And so we decided to extend for another night in Rome. I brought the one bag home, which I think was mom's bag. So she had her retainer and her style, her toiletries and clothes. Yeah. So now Maggie and her could share clothes, but and Eddie and I could share clothes. But and then the next day, we got a notification that the bags came again. We were now at a different hotel. Still one bag. And we're like,
yeah, they delivered one bag. And we were like,
it still wasn't. No, this time it was Maggie's. It was still wasn't Eddie's.
I think it was like my bag tag too that was they were tracking the bag number. So I was like,
they were sending us all kinds of bad information. Yeah. They said it was also a black bag. None of us have a black bag. You know, but anyway. But fortunately, that very same day, a couple hours later, Eddie's bag came in. Mm-hmm. We were reunited with our luggage, and all was well in the world.
I was,
And we left. I remember. Florence.
No, we were all in the hotel though when my bag came in, and I remember I was half asleep, and I was in one of those weird sleeps.
Oh, yeah.
Mom, you probably remember this better than I do, where you're like half awake. But you're not fully awake. And so in my head, I heard, this is so weird. I like heard the conversation, I believe, of them bringing the bag, like you guys bring the bag in and being like, oh my gosh, Maggie, you're going to be happy. And in my head, I responded, but I didn't actually.
But she didn't actually.
And so
I thought she'd be really excited.
And so something else played through in my head of something that happened. And I decided I needed to actually respond this time. And so I started talking to Mom about like a ring. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah, but it was like, do you want this ring?
Yeah, I was like, can I see, like, look at it or whatever. But it was a dream that I was responding to, still half asleep. But in my head, the dream was like, oh no, I just subconsciously absorbed this again of the conversation that's happening in the room. I'm looking at this beautiful ring.
Yeah. And then you were like, is there a ring or something? You said something like that. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, what are you talking about? She's like, darn it. Oh man. You were so disappointed no, really wasn't.
But that it wasn't true. I was like, I was like, no, I was so certain this was reality. Like I got played. It was so disorienting. Yeah.
So other than getting reunited with our luggage, what were your favorite moments from Rome? I mean, to me, it all kind of synthesizes in my brain as like, you know, a lot of coffee and walking. Our whole Italy trip, we walked everywhere. We did a ton of steps.
I love the walking.
Every day was leg day. And the rain wasn't bad. Like, we only had a little drizzle first couple days, and then things cleared up.
There was, like, some overcastness, which honestly was a good thing. So,
what were your highlights, though, in terms of experiences or tours or highlight sites? Let's start with Rome. What about for you, Eddie?
Oh, man. I just loved going back and revisiting Rome. I haven't been there since Assassin's Creed.
I had never been there. Assassin's Creed.
So, it was great to be back. It was really cool though. I like just being able to see so many of these places, so much history, just the concept of like Rome, you know, this ancient city, like ancient city, and then basically gets destroyed, the whole like, you know, 1,000 years of darkness and then the Renaissance. So you're kind of looking at like two sets of periods that were just absolutely insane. And I thought it was really cool how we went through like some of the areas, like the Forum, where everything is just completely level, or not everything, but a lot of stuff is completely leveled. And our tour guide was showing us pictures of before and after, the like great pictures. it was just so cool. Like being, trying to imagine all these massive buildings and like how these different districts and
It doesn't feel real, crazy. A part of it where I'm like, no, they remade this. So like, I'm like, how did people make this?
In the layers of history, you know, when you think about how they're continuing even now to uncover new eras of civilization, going deeper in the archaeology, and then opening up whole new exhibits. It's like the longer, the more time passes, the more you get to experience when you go and tour a place like this. And the other thing about it was their attitude toward tourists has probably always been great. Mm-hmm. But what our guide told us, and I loved our guide in Rome, he was so awesome. Passionate. But he's like, the Colosseum and all of that. The Colosseum was amazing. But he said, no, when after COVID and the pandemic and everything shut down, the whole city has like a refreshed attitude about how we engage with tourists. And, you know, because we understand just how much we depend on them and how much, you know, the city just really relies upon tourism as an industry. You know, for people to work. And he's actually from, this particular guy was from Mexico, where he used to give tours of from the
Mayan
ruins and things like this.
So knowledgeable.
Really, just a brilliant guy. And so I loved learning from him and just, you know, picking up on his passion. That made a huge difference.
Yeah, my favorite part was probably on that tour, just seeing like the Roman Colosseum. The Roman Forum. Colosseum was cool too, but it very violent,
very dark.
You don't walk into that place and they're like, oh my gosh, like this is so cool. I know. You're like, geez, that's terrible. Yeah.
What I picked up on from the Colosseum was the technology piece.
Yeah.
You know, when he thought about this is like
set design,
he said, you got to think about this place. Like it was the most state of the art arena stadium. Like in 2022, where you'd play the Super Bowl and you've got the latest technology.
Yeah,
and
they even had the like coverings that they could like cover the roof or something. Yes.
Yeah, they had a retractable roof.
Yeah, like the Benz in Atlanta, like the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And elevators to take out set pieces of equipment and animals.
Yeah, down below, like a theater. Yeah. Like they had
all that technology. You think they could have come up with a little better entertainment than making people kill each other or making animals kill each other.
But I think one of the things that I hadn't picked up on before, that wasn't like all the time. Like they had circuses. They had theater kind of stuff that they would bring.
I think the murder was, he was talking about the gladiators.
Oh, the gladiators were
all the like
time.
The elite fighters. Like those they weren't fighting big, every... Yeah.
Those were like the big concerts.
The big events. Yeah, the headlining.
Because they couldn't afford to pay them. So it was rare. It was like once a year. Is that what you said?
It wasn't even the gladiators who got paid. The gladiators were slaves.
They were slaves. What the heck?
I know. They're not even literally getting paid. That's crazy.
But his point was when you got it.
They ate really well and they had like they.
Yes.
Yeah. Lamb bread for slaughter.
Better than most of the shopkeepers.
Yeah. His whole thing about like the emperor giving you a thumbs up or thumbs down of whether somebody should live or die wasn't really a thing because these were like professional athletes. They had, especially if they were really good gladiators, like they were a sports team. Yeah. You've got to think about it. Like somebody's got a lot of money invested in keeping that person trained and at the top of their game. And
what if they're
working
like
out all the time? And
what if they were friends?
I know.
That's got to be hard, really hard.
Crazy.
But I think the concept of the circus, honey, is a little different than what you're thinking about because
the circus
acts were like animals fighting animals too, which was not necessarily, and they weren't, these are animals that wouldn't fight each other in the wild.
Yeah.
And so they would chain them to each other. It was very,
it was terrible. Those guys.
No, I know. It was terrible. I hate that they could build a Colosseum so well.
Yeah, I know. They did just do that inside of it. Crazy.
But yeah, so my favorite part was actually the garden in the Roman Forum.
Yeah.
There were some nice orange trees. I was like, this is so beautiful.
And you get the position of like what it would be like to be in ancient Rome. And you get to see like the reason why the emperor's city or the, you know, the gardens were up on the hill is because you could literally see everybody coming from everywhere, from a far off distance. And you great place of power and prestige. And of course, the art and the beauty and the pantheon and, you know, all of the just amazing history, you know, one of the things that I was almost embarrassed about was we didn't do a great job, I think, as ambassadors of America. Like, we didn't try to speak Italian very much.
We did. I did every single day. Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm, that in Spanish.
Well, sometimes you forget.
No, that was just you guys.
It's easy to slide into that.
I felt like I would try to use Italian, but then just completely abort in any given situation.
Oh my gosh, we were so bad about this. Of Mom, you weren't there on our last night. Me, Eddie, and myself. No, me, Eddie, and so jet lagged. we went out to go get like froyo, and we walk up to this froyo place, and a man opens the door. His name's Lorenzo. He opens the door, and he speaks to us in Italian. And instead of any of us saying we don't speak Italian, we all just go, and look at each other.
We literally just all looked silently until he goes,
you guys speak English. And we're like, yes.
I think he kind of saw, he was like, English.
Yes. Well, I always have to wait and say, like, are we saying buona sera or are we saying buongiorno right now? Like, what time of day? Mm-hmm. So that's like the first thing I think about. Well, wait a second. So I've got like a 5-second delay.
Yeah. He was awesome,
by the way. He totally was.
Oh,
like,
he was so great.
Yeah.
We had some great froyo.
He put out a whole presentation with it, too.
Yeah.
And he said he learned English from video games and what was the other thing?
I actually wasn't at that froyo thing with you guys.
No, you were journaling. You did a lot of journaling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, but Eddie, you joked a little bit about like touring Rome and Florence via Assassin's Creed and like video games.
Yeah.
But I bet that was really interesting because you knew that architecture really well. And it was like probably laid out by proportionally in a very accurate way.
I think the developers of those games are known for their accurate, at least then, known for just really making these things as accurate as possible. And even, you know, of course, there's like the city life going on. So there's like stuff happening in the Pantheon. That was really cool. Just being able to see all of that stuff. And yeah, one of the, like learning history from video games. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Lorenzo was great, but so were really all the Italians that we met.
Everybody's super, super friendly, mm-hmm. nice. A lot of them, though, also said that they wanted to work on their English. They were like, I'd like to practice my English.
They like to practice, which was very helpful for us.
Yeah, we had a conversation when we got back about how scary it's got to be coming to America to like sightsee or to travel or whatever. Because you go to Italy, you go to France, wherever, it's so English friendly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And America, it tends to be...
The customs was kind of different. I feel like customs spoke for that.
Yeah, well, just even talk, but like specifically speaking, not even about culture, but just about like the language of like how accessible it is to have other languages displayed.
We don't accommodate other languages
that very well. Yeah. If you're working someplace, most people only speak English.
Right. But there's a lot more and more writings in the U.S.
For sure.
In different languages, especially if you go to a museum and things like that.
But it's usually English and Spanish.
Yes.
For the most part.
Right. Because that's the most of the world speaks one of those.
It made me feel grateful for how English friendly everything was and also more guilty about not speaking Italian. And I tried the tricky bit was a lot of the times when we would go in someplace or whatever, we would say, you know, buona sera or whatever back. And then they continue speaking Italian because we have greeted them in Italian,
right.
Implying that we speak Italian unless the accents were specifically bad on our part that day. So we kind of walked into that a good bit.
Yeah, I could have prepped a lot better in terms of like having useful phrases that I knew well. But again, we were rolling right into this from a very busy agenda right into the trip.
Yeah, I looked up right when we got there kind of how to say I don't speak Italian. And I used it once. I used it twice.
I literally gave everybody, I emailed everybody a little sheet of helpful information, including all of that, how to say hello, thank you, excuse me, I don't speak English. I mean, all right, don't speak Italian. Do you know how to say you don't speak Italian? Do you speak English?
Did you read it? Do you know how to say that? How to say you don't speak Italian?
Yes.
Say it.
You say, mi scusi, parle inglese, but you say, excuse me, I don't, you know, do you speak English?
I don't speak Italian. It's non parle Italiano. Is how you say
exactly.
it. And on the train, on the way back, a sweet lady in the aisle started speaking to me, and like she was very friendly. And I said that in Italian, and she smiled so big, and she grabbed my arm and squeezed
it. She was so
sweet. I was like, oh my gosh, thank you for not like scoffing at me.
Yeah, she was sweet. All the Italians are awesome.
Yeah.
Driving is a little bit challenging. Yeah. Like the cab driver's experiences were interesting. Like going to the airport to get that bag of luggage, I had the driver coming back who smoked weed from the moment he picked me up till the moment he dropped me off. Literally.
That's crazy. He told
me when he picked me up, he said, I haven't quite finished my supper. And I guess what he meant by that was, I'm not done smoking pot yet.
Apparently, you're like, sure, finish your sandwich.
Crazy.
And I was like, is this normal? This does not feel normal or safe, but I don't know if I could make things worse, you know, if I try to correct him or ask him not to. So I just let him smoke and drive, and we made it back.
Dan hung his head out the window like a dog. So.
Yeah. Well, I think I got a second, like a contact buzz.
He comes back, he's like, I think I might have gotten secondhand.
Driving it was so scary. Yeah.
The other thing that was interesting is all the eating out. You know, we ate a lot of pasta, a lot of pizza, and a lot of Italian food. And we were gluten-free because we're trying to cut back on gluten-free. Not totally gluten-free, but Eddie has to be gluten-free.
I'm gluten-free, yeah. Exactly. It's like a minor allergy thing that can ultimately turn into celiac. So
you're really
my doctor
respectful.
Was like, hey, maybe... Yeah, cut it out now.
Completely.
Yeah.
So what I told Eddie was like, you know, if you can pull off gluten free in Italy, you know, the home of pasta and pizza and stuff like that, then you've got this thing covered. But it was surprisingly easier than I thought, you know, because people would accommodate, and the gluten free pasta choices and stuff were actually really good.
Yeah, way better than anything I've made. Yeah, it was very cool. I feel like that also helped me kind of change my perspective because that, you know, that was something that came out this year and I wasn't really happy about cutting it out. I didn't want to, but I knew I had to. So I felt like, you know, sometimes it'd be upsetting if like I, you know, got something, asked for something gluten-free and it wasn't or all of that. It was like, this is just really frustrating. And then
and that happened once.
Oh yeah. And then, just that entire Italy experience, I think, changed my perspective. And finally, I don't really know what it was. I think part of it was me just saying it out loud when I was kind of like, you know, at some point I'd have to get over that and have to just stop letting that affect me. So I was like, I got to get over this. And it was great. Like, I don't know. I feel like that I came back from Italy with a much better mindset around all of that. So
that's great. We had some very good food.
Very good food, very good times, lots of coffee.
Yeah, and gluten-free food is good.
Yeah, even the pizza, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
I will
say. But then like the gluten-free food on the plane, not as good, so.
Yeah, the pizza place that Morgan told us about was the best pizza. Now it wasn't gluten-free, so Eddie didn't get the pizza, but he had the pasta, but the pizza, that was the best. And because a lot
we
of
had
the
some
times
bad
I
pizza.
Didn't, the pizza was not great. And I'm like, come on now. I didn't always order it, but I would try everybody's pizza when they got it. And I'm just like, I just expected it to be better. And then that place, I was like, all right, now this is good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the other thing I thought about is on the one hand, we were surprised that restaurants were so accommodating. But on the other hand, I thought, well, if I was a restaurant owner, that's the kind of thing you really have to know and be able to say either we do it or we don't do it. And if you do say you do it, you've got to follow through because of the liability involved. And look, you're just taking care of people and trying to keep people safe who might have really legitimate health issues to whatever allergy, gluten or dairy or nuts or anything like that. So just gave me more empathy and respect for restaurateurs yes. who have to think through all of those different things. And at the same time, they're trying to run a business and, yeah. and run a restaurant.
We appreciate yeah. you guys.
Yeah. I was going to say, I have to be honest that like, I'm so grateful that we got to spend so much time together as a family. And yet the family dynamic under the stress of travel and for that extended period of time, you know, I'd say there were moments that were challenging for all of us yeah. with mm-hmm. all of us.
And with the luggage loss, that added yeah. a whole layer of stress.
And so I guess I didn't anticipate that as much. And obviously that's part of how you, you know, build the bonds of family and friendship and love is like going through those moments of stress, but then recovering from it or losing your cool yeah. and apologizing and getting it back. But I mean, thank you all for being so gracious and understanding of my shortcomings.
I don't know, that like realization and attitude of everyone. It's like everyone, I don't know, like we all love each other and that's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not explaining this well, but I think it's so awesome. That's like such a great realization that like we all get on each other's nerves and things like that happen. But, you know, we all deeply care about each other. And yeah. I think that's
and so important. Hit our reset button when, you know, when we get like just, you know, sometimes you want to be by yourself too. It's mm-hmm. like, it's just when you're four people together all the time and you just kind of, I liked having my quiet time, periodically and have a cup of tea and you guys would, sometimes we go off two by two. And that was fun too.
Yeah. And now after this conversation, we actually won't be talking to each other until, until after in the new year.
No, we'll be playing some Nerds later.
My private time, my alone time was strangely enough when I would go off and make my weekly videos or even the mornings, you know, like planning them. Well, the first night when we got to Rome and we haven't even talked about Florence, like Florence was, I think the highlight,
oh, yeah.
like our favorite city, because it's so beautiful and everything like that. But in both cities, I'd make my weekly videos. In Rome, the first day I tried to, and it was rained out. And so I went out, I actually wrote it the night before after getting in. I was really sleep deprived. I went out, tried to shoot a video. I didn't have an umbrella. I was getting rained on. I was like, this is not working. And so I actually abandoned. And that's when we found the forum. And I was like, okay, now I've got a site in mind and better weather and I like really could plan it more. But I just love that idea of going out and like it's conquering the day and conquering the assignment of my thing. But it is weird. And I know I'm definitely a strange American out there talking to myself.
Yeah.
But I did one in Rome and one in Florence. Florence, we were right near the heart of the city yep. and the cathedral.
Historic district both times.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my intention.
And it was, you did a great job in planning hotels, babe.
Thank you.
Yeah, you really hooked us up in some beautiful spots. And we walked and walked and walked and walked, but it was awesome.
Yeah, but as soon as we'd walk out of the hotel, we'd be somewhere. Like, yeah. we'd be at some, like, literally Trevi Fountain was, I mean, what? One block,
one
like,
minute
like
away, if that.
Yeah, like 700 yeah. steps or less.
It's amazing how you, like, you look at things differently too, walking wise, yeah. of just, oh, it's a 30 minute walk. We can do that.
Yeah.
And that's what my New York friends always say. They're like, oh yeah, we just walk everywhere.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a car where it's like a 20 minute walk is nothing. And in LA, like you don't walk anywhere. No, if it's down the street, you're driving. Yeah. And so I'm like inspired to start walking places.
Mm.
I really enjoyed in Rome, the Vatican City tour.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. And but then in Florence, the tour of the whole cathedral and we climbed the bell tower, which was an amazing laid day, like all the stairs of climbing to the top of the bell tower. But then after that, Eddie and I also climbed the dome to the top of the cathedral,
the
which is like
of the dome
stairs on top of stairs. But Eddie, it was wild. What a trip,
yeah.
right?
Oh yeah. It was so crazy. Just being like, I wasn't like, I don't know. I don't think that I'm scared of heights or have a fear of heights, but my body and mind were like, it was like just, we are so high up, even in the dome, like looking down inside, you know, you can see the chapel and everything. And we're just so, so high up. It was like, it was mind boggling. And just getting that entire view of Florence and all of the mountains, and you can see all these villas and, you know, the train station where we pulled up. It was so beautiful. It was incredible.
And the stairs that you're going up are ascending. And you know that these have been, these were built so many hundreds of years ago. And that, and they go through these twisty turns. And then when you go over the dome, you're almost climbing straight up vertically. From the interior, you get to see a different perspective of the mural, which was just bizarre because it shows like these layers of hell and demons and freakiness. It's like, I was telling Eddie, this is like combination of a most incredible workout and like a trippy spook house, spook house of some kind. Because it's very just disorienting.
Yeah, total. I think I like accidentally hypnotized myself walking down those spiral staircases just because it kept going. And yeah, that was something.
Something I took away from it, I'll show you guys. So when we were inside the dome looking up, this is what it looked like, right? And so you see this beautiful mural. You have the two different levels that my dad and I, when they walked up, they walked along. And then you have this tiny interior where there's windows or whatever that you see from the outside. I think you can get up here.
To the balcony, looking in, looking down where
all these windows are. I think that's a space there that you can see from the outside over here.
You can actually, Maggie, but they had it closed during our, as we were walking up.
Well, you're
up.
For sure, public's not allowed up here. I'm pretty sure.
No, we, that's where we were.
No, not here, not here, here.
Oh, okay.
Like, or, here, but on the inside, like where the dome is.
Inside looking down.
And it made me think, I was like, how many places, especially in Vatican City, are like secret?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I can only imagine.
I know.
We didn't even see like the, I feel like we could kind of see the side of the like Vatican Palace, if that's what it's called, or the palace. But I mean, that whole thing I bet is super crazy.
Yeah.
Cool.
And there's like, I've seen stuff online about basements in Vatican City
and like tunnels,
what is off limits to the public and just centuries of history.
Maybe even like only a handful of people know about, like, you know,
where I was like, man, just imagine being given like an, but even I wouldn't trust like
tour.
Yeah. But I wouldn't even trust that. I'd be like, no, there's
no,
still
the
more.
Real
you're still hiding more and I want to see it. Or maybe I don't. I don't know.
I don't know that you do. Yeah. I was telling Eddie, when you think about all the battles that were fought there and the times it was sacked and things like that, it's like, if you can imagine like everywhere we're walking, everywhere we're standing, this is kind of a creepy thought, but imagine if like you knew everyone who had ever died on that spot.
I thought
before.
About that in Rome.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It totally, it reminds me of that mechanic in Dark Souls, or if anyone knows the FromSoft games, where you can see all of the other players that have died. Oh, so when you're walking into an area and you just see that everywhere, you're like, oh,
no,
maybe
I
should be careful.
Yeah,
I bet that there'd be those everywhere.
We were literally at the spot where Julius Caesar was murdered, right?
Yeah.
And you're just standing there like, oh.
I don't remember
that
if
was right
like,
here? Oh.
I don't remember if that was like the exact spot or if it was like
that's
10
where they brought
away.
His body or something.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
They brought his body there and then they were trying to, they thought they were going to do this processional after they, and take him to get it cremated. But then there was like riots.
But we were right where Mark Antony did his famous speech.
His famous speech.
Yeah. Right. And like that legit happened.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy. In the, oh my gosh. Like I spend so much time thinking about how cool it would be to just have like glasses you can put on and see everything around you. You know,
hundreds of years ago. We totally need to like see that in VR or like some virtual replication.
Or I feel like that'd be a crazy cool concept. And I'm sure things have been done like that for movies, but like a crazy cool concept. Of walking around, you know, in ancient Rome, but you're also not in ancient Rome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Florence was a breath of fresh air in regards to the, okay, probably less people have died here.
Yeah, so no. One of the...
No, not at all.
Well, who knows?
Did you look at those statues of like the battle images and the I mean the whole
Medici's.
Fact that how Florence was populated was an act of pillaging and rape that was pretty horrific, you know?
Yeah.
And then depicted in these statues, and which, by the way, were quite overwhelming, the number of naked statues
that we looked at together as a family. Our family selfie in front of David.
Yeah, in front
of Christmas card.
Anatomy everywhere. I was telling Eddie, it's like, you know, and you walk in through these museums with like all of these images of like these like overwhelming numbers of art, pieces of art. But it's like, in reality, it's like the way they were created was one at a time. Right. And so when you think about like when people enjoyed art back then, it was like they wouldn't look at a whole probably exhibit of similar statues. They'd be like, hey, look what I just spent 4 years to make. And
I made this out of a rock, marble. I handcrafted this.
We were big fans of Michelangelo. And when we went to go see David leading up to the big presentation of it, are a bunch of, I think it's six or so, unfinished works of Michelangelo, and we kept saying how pissed Michelangelo probably is that they put a bunch of his unfinished work up in a museum that he obviously like. He was known for being so particular about what he liked and what he didn't like and what was good enough that they straight up put stuff. He was like, it just started.
And I had never known that they said that. So the big famous Pietà, I guess is the way you say it.
Mm-hmm.
In Rome. So when I was there in 1981,
Mary, crucified, right. And Mary holding his body.
Right. And so that's in Rome. So when I was there in 1981, the actual piece was somewhere else being restored or something. And they had a replica there. And I went, oh my gosh, that's so gorgeous. Like, how can the real one be, you know, better than that? I mean, what's the big deal? And then I saw it this time, and I literally gasped and like teared up.
Very emotionally moved. I couldn't believe
it. It was so unexpected. Yeah. It's like, oh, hey guys, it's over here. And we walked up to it, and I was just like, oh my gosh.
It feels perfect. Like something that never clicked with me when I studied this in school was like, the cloth is just perfect. Somehow it looks so real, and even, you know, you compare it to the other ones and it's like, nah, Michelangelo did it the best.
At 23.
It looks real. And you can see like the muscles underneath the skin of everything. And so, you know, such a dramatic scene. It's just, it feels real. It's crazy. Yeah,
the concept of chiseling. It's just insane to me. I'm like, what do you mean? It was like, a big block, and now it's like,
is that not super easy to mess up?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but what we found out was he actually did four of these pieces. So the most famous one, I'm assuming, is the one in Rome, at the Basilica, the Vatican. The Sistine.
Yeah, Basilica.
Wait,
St. Peter's Basilica at the Vatican City.
Right. And then, but there's another one in Florence that's unfinished that he was very unhappy with and
mutilated
it, and they restored it. And to Maddie's point, I bet he's pissed.
Yeah, he's
off
like, guys, I gave you so much.
Exactly.
Art. Like Sistine Chapel, I gave you, David. Leave like my ruins as ruins.
And what they call it there, they call it his most personal pietà.
You know, that was in a Florence advertisement that I read that. But where are the other two? I don't know. So I haven't looked that up
In that one in Florence, I believe this is what we said. I hope it's correct. Of that, he's in it. He's standing behind Mary and Jesus.
Yeah, he painted his face into that image.
He painted it?
He sculpted his face. But to your point about sculpture, which was Michelangelo's favorite medium.
He told us.
Yeah, you know, everybody knows. Gonna come on. No, but it's like, you think about it. You work on something for so long, and then you could ruin it. so easily.
Yeah. After I don't remember, or I have no clue how long it takes, but like it seems like it would take like 10 years or I don't know, like years to make stuff like that.
Yeah.
You're making something that's taken a long time, and the Pope's like, get your butt over here. I want you to paint a ceiling for 4 years.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I can't. And he's like, it's a lot of money, and he does it.
And then you're a sculptor and you're a painter and you're an architect, which, by the way, we want you to rebuild the whole dome on the roof of the Vatican City, cathedral as well.
And then that one Pope commissioned like five statues out of him, like five giant, larger than life statues. Yeah,
that's a little weird. All the kind of like
the extravagance. Yeah.
Of the popes. I wasn't big into. Like, you walk into a church, you want to see Jesus, not the literal body of a pope.
Remember that at that last place that we went to. Now, mummified. I wish we
St.
had
Peter's
seen
Basilica.
It.
There was a pope.
A mummified pope. Dressed like Santa Claus.
Oh, wait. Yeah, so that was actually...
that was him. That was... Yes.
That was his mummified body.
Wow. Okay.
Sorry, Mama, what were you saying?
No, but there was the other place that we... In Florence that we went to. Maggie, you and I were... We separated from the boys. That was at that...
Oh, yes.
You're that was at that about, museum. Uh-huh. It was at the opera, right? That they call it the opera.
The Academia.
Yeah, Academia, where they had a lot of the stuff... But they had like horcruxes, right?
No, it was like
I don't know what those things
these
are.
Sculptures,
but
and then it'd be glass, and then there'd be bones.
There's
inside.
Bones inside. There was
and
parts
everything
of
was
popes.
In Italian.
Or, I don't think it was the popes. I think I want but we didn't get a guide on this one. This is probably one where I would definitely like to know what we were looking at, because I was like that looks like teeth. And then when we saw the bone of like a arm bone or something, like, all right, now there's definitely something up with these pieces of art. They're so beautiful, but there's little relics in there.
Imagine being like, do you want to be cremated or buried? And you're like, I want my bones in this sculpture. That's what I want. I want you to put it in a museum.
I want you to mummify me and dress me like Santa Claus.
That was crazy.
No, not that one. Oh.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was when we saw the Pope's body in St. Peter's Basilica. Part of me was like, no, that's not it. Because, he's so pale because he's been there a long time. But that had to have been with his consent, right, before he died.
Oh, I think it was his idea.
It was his idea.
I want,
And that's the thing I said when we walked out of the Sistine Chapel and even before we went in the Basilica, was like, I just had this image of Jesus coming back and going,
yeah.
Yeah, guys, this isn't what I meant. This is not what I had in mind.
Yeah, we had this conversation because that's so interesting. Even it's said so many times, like, by Peter and Paul and different people in the Bible. Like, guys, this is not about me. Do not glorify me.
Yeah.
And then it's St. Peter's Basilica. And, like, obviously, I get it, And, like, it's not his fault or anything. But that is a really interesting point of, like, Jesus came in a lot of ways to take away religion and remove like that
to make it more accessible.
Yeah, to take away the facade of just it having to be this
of
and
it's
pristine
classist
and
almost.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
for sure. But what I told you guys too was because I totally understand that and I'm behind that. But also like praying in that church and just like talking like to God, it kind of felt like a tiny glimpse of heaven where you read the Bible describing heaven and it's like gold streets and like gold is like the most precious thing we can imagine materialistically on earth. And so like, obviously it's going to be used a lot in the Bible to describe like perfect, heaven or whatever. And so like, I kind of got a little bit of a glimpse of that where I was like, it was really cool to pray in like a church where like thousands of other people, hundreds of years before me have prayed, and in that aspect, it felt beautiful. But then you look over and there's a pope. And I was like, ooh. No,
but that is a good point. It's like this is as close as we in our limited human way can make something that resembles God's masterpiece, and that's why artists are always struggling and always falling short. And it's always about the best of the best work out there.
Yeah.
So So what's next? Where do you guys want to go on our next adventure?
Oh my gosh, I'm done traveling. I'm such a homebody.
Well, we were traveling yesterday, literally on flights all day long. And so imagine you feel that way.
Yeah, I was literally like, is it wrong to be like disappointed that we're going to Italy instead of just home for the holidays? Because we just moved into a new house and I envisioned all of us, you know, home for an extended time, watching Christmas movies and wrapping presents and baking or whatever. And, but yeah, Italy was fabulous. And
yeah, I think we're all ready for a restful few days following.
Yep. Get to see a lot of family and cousins. And, that's going to be awesome.
Oh my gosh. Wait, are the cousins coming?
Yeah, everybody's going to be here.
Wait, that's so exciting. Very, very exciting. Yeah. Italy was wonderful. Thank you guys for taking us. That was awesome.
Yep. Oh, you're welcome.
And thank you guys for listening.
Exactly. Yes. Oh, transition.
Fabulous new year. Yes. We'll talk to you after the new year, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Reach out to us at wholesomechaos.com. We have some questions that we'll get to next week. So make sure you hit that subscribe button and you'll be notified as soon as we drop the next episode. And thanks again for being part of the podcast and for an amazing year with you.
Woo-hoo! Absolutely.
Here's to another one in 2023. Bye. Love you guys. Love you, everyone.
Love you.
Have a great week.
Bye.
So drinking age in Italy, I don't know what it is, but I know I'm over it.
It's whenever you want.
It's whenever you want. And I drank in front of you guys.
Whoa. Yeah.
And you guys found out that I am, in fact,
you're a lightweight.
I'm such a lightweight. No, literally. It was insane.
That was very funny. Yeah. After like an hour, it's like, and you had like four sips. Do you want Eddie to have that?
I was like, no, I'm working on it. I'm fine.
It's like,
fine.
No, I'm going to drink it.
Yeah.
You never did.
Yeah. One less thing to worry about.